Once again, to the second chapter of the book of 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 2. Again, we are thankful to be in the Lord's house. Have already been blessed today by the song service, by the Sunday school hour. And we do pray the Lord's blessing, of course, on this portion of our service. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 2 will be my text again this morning. Now, my text actually runs from verse number 13 all the way down to the end of the chapter this morning. And we probably will be using most all of those verses before we get finished, I'm sure, this morning. But let me open things up, if I may, just by reading one verse of Scripture. And I do this because this verse kind of sets the theme or the tone for our message this morning. But I love verse number 13. Paul says, "For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God, which you heard of us, you received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe." Now, I just want to read that one verse to you, and I will tell you, this past week, I kept trying to go off in so many different directions this morning and as I was preparing this message, and I hope I can stay focused a little better than I normally do this morning and not do that. I say that because my subject deals with the Word of God. And listen, you'd be hard-pressed to find a more important subject. I don't think that you can overemphasize how important the Word of God is for the children of God. Now, this is our eighth message in this series that we've been calling Christianity on Display. Now, my original plan was to preach perhaps 10 messages out of 1 Thessalonians, maybe add 4 or 5 more out of 2 Thessalonians and then be done. Well, that plan has kind of gone out the window because we're on the eighth message and we're now just coming to the end of the second chapter. Now, I hope that I have not wearied you already with this theme. I hope you're not tired of it. I guarantee you that your flesh is probably tired of this subject. I know that. And I can tell you, if you live in the flesh more than you live in the spirit, you are sick to death of me talking about this subject. You don't want to be reminded of this subject at all. But listen, as a matter of fact, it is true, folks, if you have really been saved, if you are really a child of God, listen, it has to show in your life. It just has to. I mean, you're going to be different. You're going to talk differently than everybody else in this world. You're going to walk differently than everybody else in this world, right? You're going to look different. You're going to live different. I don't know. You may even laugh differently than everybody else in this world. You have to listen. Here's the reason for that. If you are really saved, you have been made a new creature in Christ Jesus. You're a new creation. And does not the Bible say then that old things are passed away, and behold, all things have become new? So I have been saying the same thing over and over and over again. Don't tell me that you're Christian. Show me that you are Christian. That's been the theme throughout this message. Listen, Christianity, true Christianity, is something that people can see. Now, last week we talked about being faithful in our witness. Now, I don't want to go back and re-preach that same sermon again to you, but listen, one of the evidences, I think, that you really are a child of God is, frankly, that you want to tell people about it, you know. I mean, you want to bear fruit in your life for the Lord Jesus Christ, right? I mean, do you witness? Do you have any fruit whatsoever in your life to show for the Lord Jesus Christ? You know. Now, if you do not do either of those things, as kindly as I can put it, you might want to search your heart a little bit. I mean, how many of us really desire, how many of us want to see people saved? You know, that's a good question. A better question might be, how many of us have to see people saved? Now, there's a great difference between those two questions, by the way. It is a difference than merely a desire or having what you might call an obsession. Now, that may sound crazy, but listen, if you have really experienced the wonder of the grace of God in your life, man, you want to see other people saved. You have such an urgency in your heart, you cannot stand the thought of people dying and going to hell. Yeah, you have such an urgency in your heart to witness. You cannot even know peace without telling people about Jesus Christ. Now, if that sounds radical, if you're sitting there thinking, so preacher, that sounds kind of radical, that sounds kind of extreme, then you might want to examine yourself. You might just have more of a social kind of religion. I'm talking about, folks, if you have been saved by the grace of God, you want to tell somebody about it. You ought to be faithful in your witness. Now, today I'm going to come back now and talk about being faithful to His Word. Yes, we ought to be faithful in our witness, but what I want to try to emphasize to you, the best way we do that is by being faithful to His Word. Listen, this is the inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God. Now, I want you to listen, just listen again and let it soak in what the Apostle Paul had to say about the believers at Thessalonica. He said, listen, for this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God which you heard of us, you received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. Now, listen, one of the telltale signs of whether or not you really are a child of God is how you view the Word of God. Did I say that right? It is how you use, it's how you rely upon the Word of God in your life. Paul said to the believers at Thessalonica, he said, listen, you received the Word of God. In fact, he says, you received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God. Can I say this to you, folks? If you are really, a child of God knows, a child of God understands that this book is the word of God. A child of God knows and a child of God understands that in the end, it really does not matter so much what he feels about a certain subject or even what he thinks about a certain subject. In the end, all that matters is what God says. And so you know and understand this is the very word of God. And Paul said that you received the word, and not only did you receive the word, but listen to me on this, you responded to the word. He said, this word, it worketh effectually, it effectually worketh in you that believe. Can I say this to you, folks? The word of God changes a true believer. He sure does. That as a true believer hears the word of God taught, or hears the word of God preached, or even reads and studies the word of God, as a true believer does that, and God reveals something to him, then man, he has a desire to respond to the word of God. It effectually worketh in you that believe. It is sad. And it is very often disheartening how many church members today do not respond to the preaching of the Word of God. It is. It is sad and it is disheartening how few of us spend any time studying and reading the Word of God throughout the week. And even more disheartening, how few of us apply the Word of God and are thus changed by the Word of God. Folks, this is God's Word. You have to question then how many of us are really, really saved. Because the Word of God does affect you in your life. I'm going to talk more about this in a moment. But let me say that again to you. Folks, the Word of God does have an effect in a believer's life, you see. And so I want to talk to you this morning about being faithful to His Word. Now, I do that with a goal in mind. I'll just be honest with you. I pray that God would change hearts here at Faith Baptist Church. I do. Now, I know I say that, and I know fully well that there are many of you sitting here this morning, or some of you perhaps, that do spend a lot of time through the week in the Word of God. I know that. And you know what? It shows in your life. But I also am quite certain that there are some of you sitting here this morning that hardly ever, unless you happen to be in church, you hardly ever open your Bibles. Guess what? It shows in your life. And I pray that God would change you. I pray that as the Word of God is preached or as it is taught, that the Spirit of God will work so in your life that it produces a change in your life. I mean, imagine what Faith Baptist Church would be like, folks, if all of us did what God said. Imagine that. So I pray that God would change you, that you would repent of that sin and you would recommit yourself to the study and to the practice of the Word. Now listen, you may have to do that several times. You may have to repent and repent and repent and repent and recommit yourself and recommit yourself until it finally takes root in your heart and your life. But I hope God changes you. I really do. That's the desire when the Word of God is preached and the Word of God is taught, that it would produce a change in those that hear it. Am I making sense? What I'm trying to say is, folks, we need to be faithful again to God's Word. Now, I have but three very simple points I'm going to throw at you this morning. But I tell you, I thought about this also. There is not a God, I'm talking about a true God-called preacher alive that wants to be a powerless preacher. You know, any true preacher doesn't want to feel like he's wasting his time in the pulpits on Sunday. I don't want to be a powerless preacher. I really don't. I don't want to feel like that I'm just saying words and it has no effect in anybody's life. I don't want to feel like my preaching is in vain. You know, I want, folks, the preaching of the Word of God to have an effect on those that hear it. Now, before that can happen, you better be preaching the Bible. You better be preaching the Word of God. You better be praying over that message. And the Holy Spirit of God has got to endue it with power. Let's pray that as the Word is taught, as the Word is preached, that the Spirit of God would empower that Word. Folks, that's what we need again in our Baptist churches. And by the by, as you hear the Word, you ought also to pray that God would make that Word effectual in your life. That God would bless the hearing. Understand that you're not hearing just the words of men. Folks, you're here to hear the Word of God. It is God's Word. And so as you hear, you pray that God would bless your hearing and that God would change your life. We got to get back, folks, to being faithful to His Word again. Listen, there are, no doubt, thousands of books out there on soul winning. Can I say to you the best soul winning book we have is the Word of God. There are, no doubt, thousands upon thousands of books on the market of how to grow your church. The best church growth book we have is the Word of God. I like books. You go to my library, you see a lot of them. There are, no doubt, thousands of books out there on how to have a good marriage. Can I say to you, the best marriage manual we have is the Word of God. And so it goes in every area, every avenue of your life. The Bible is the book that we need, folks. So I'm just trying to drive home the point. Yes, we ought to be faithful in our witness. But folks, in order to, the best way to do that is to be faithful in His Word. So I want to talk to you this morning about being faithful to His Word. And as I said, I got three main, very simple points to talk about. And by the way, I feel like I'm in somewhat of a predicament this morning because if my plan comes to fulfillment, I plan on carrying the same theme over tonight also. I'm going to preach on the Word of God tonight. I'm going to preach from a different place, a different book, but it's going to be on the same. So I decided to devote this whole Lord's Day to the Bible, folks, which is the very Word of God. But I want to talk about being faithful to His Word. Now listen, it is, I think, fair to say that one of the evidences that you really are saved, that you really are a child of God, is that you know and understand that this is the Word of God. Is that a fair statement? One of the evidences that you really are a child of God is that you desire to read and to study God's Word. Is that fair to say? One of the evidences that you really are saved is that you then apply that Word in your life and the Word of God changes you. It is just sad to me. And I preach different parts of the country in different churches, and I think about it quite often. It is so sad today that so few people who claim to be saved ever respond to the preaching of the Word of God. It is sad. Now, I can tell you this. That was not the case with the believers at Thessalonica. Paul says, man, you received this as the Word of God, you know, as it is in truth, the Word of God. And so I want us to think about being faithful this morning to His Word. Now, let me give you my three very quick points. I don't think I'll be too long. In the first place, I noticed first that the Word of God brought power. Now, listen, this is very evident because Paul said here in verse 13, again, it is in truth the Word of God. And then he says, and then that Word effectually worketh in you. Now, I want you to take those two phrases. It is in truth the Word of God, which worketh effectually, or effectually worketh in you that believe. I want you to think about those. Let me just say this, folks. The Word of God has power. It does. Now, I can testify to you this morning. I have actually experience the power of the Word of God in my life. Now, I'd be the first one to admit to you, I've got a long way to go. And I leave a lot to be desired many times as a Christian. I really do. Be patient with God is still working on me. But I have experienced the power of the Word. And matter of fact, I don't know about you, but I continue, I was talking the other day to Brother Jay about this, I continue to experience the power of the Word of God in my life. I really do. Sometimes the Word of God so convicts me. Man, it just overwhelms me many times. I'm telling you, this book has power. I have seen, I have witnessed the power of the Word of God in other people's lives. I just want you to understand that. Charles Haddon Spurgeon, many of you know who about him, and he was called the Prince of Preachers and all those things, and no doubt Mr. Spurgeon, God used Mr. Spurgeon greatly. But I read a story one time where Spurgeon left church one Sunday morning feeling as low as he could be. He felt like he was absolutely ashamed of the way he preached his sermon that morning. Been there, done that many, many times. I am my own worst critic next to Belinda. Belinda tells me all the time, keep your hand, I keep doing this, she pointed it out, I'm started doing this lately, I don't know why, maybe I got mange, but she said, keep your hand away from your face. So if she's watching by live stream, I'll keep my hand away from my face. I'm my own worst critic. I feel terrible a great deal of time about how I have preached. I guess every preacher does that, Brother Willie and Brother Mike, you probably experienced. Well, Spurgeon said he was absolutely distressed, almost depressed about how he preached that message that morning. Said when he got home, he prayed, Lord, would you please bless that weak message. Now, he felt like he did terrible, but the story goes that in the weeks after that, 41 people made professions of faith, and they pointed back to that weak sermon that Mr. Spurgeon preached. He said he worked all week long to get a better sermon, a great sermon ready for next Sunday, and nobody responded to it. Now, that experience by Mr. Spurgeon teaches us some important lessons. Number one, folks, we need God to bless our little feeble efforts, don't we? What does Psalm 127 say? Unless the Lord build a house, they labor in vain. You know that, build it? Listen, it is not the preacher's ability. It is not his words. It is God's word. We need God to bless our feeble efforts. And the second lesson I learned is that it is when we at our weakest that God can do the most with us many times. I'm telling you, the word has power, but not if it's left alone. Not if it's not utilized and applied in your life. I don't care how many Bibles you have if you don't read them. I don't care how many sermons or lessons you hear if you don't apply them. Am I making sense? Now, let me give you three things under this first heading. Number one, I just simply put down, folks, the Word of God must be preached. That's it. Isn't that a simple statement? Now, go back to verse number 4. Paul talks about, you know, something being entrusted to us. The gospel has been entrusted to me. And he said, you know what? That's what I speak. Here in verse 13, you have received the word of God, which you heard of us. Now, I point this out. Let me just say this to you. The apostle Paul believed in preaching. What's more, God believes in preaching. God has chosen, the Bible says, by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Folks, the word of God must be preached. I tell you, stay away from these foolish churches today that have sought to do away with preaching, you know. Stay away from them. They're not worth even walking in their door. The word of God, God believes in preaching. Oswald Smith was famous for saying, he said, what the world does not need more sermons. What the world needs is messages. He said, you can go to a seminary and learn how to do a sermon, but you got to go to God for a message. The word's got to be preached, folks. Now, I know you got a boring preacher. I can't help it. That's just the way I am. But what we're doing is ordained of God. I read where David Livingston, of course, famous missionary, when he was a student, he was sent to this church to preach. And he was scared to death, he said. And when he got there, he got in the pulpit and flat out forgot everything, what he was going to say. Done that. It's terrible. I even forgot one time at Little Soul Baptist, and I didn't use notes in. I've got a few here with scriptures on them, and I'm not any good. I mess it up. But I didn't have any notes. I actually forgot where I was preaching from. Now, you're talking about panicking. I quoted part of the verse, and they looked it up and found it, and I was able to tell them. But I forgot, you know. Now, Livingston said he got up in the pulpit and just froze, forgot everything he was going to say. Now that would have destroyed many young preachers. But Livingston was determined. He said, God called me to be a missionary. I'm going to be a missionary. Now, you know what God did with David Livingston, a very famous missionary. But do you know, later in his life, he said, you know, I'm still not much of a preacher. I have a very poor delivery. In fact, I know that if certain people know I'm preaching, they won't come to church. But look what God did with David Livingston. Listen, the word of God must be preached. I thank God for the man who has preached the word of God to me. Sure do. I thank God for the man that preached the gospel. I know he did, but the day the Lord saved me. And I listen, it was by the preaching of the word that I found out that I was lost. It was by the preaching of the gospel that I knew that Christ died for my sins. It was by the preaching of the gospel that I was brought to a place of repentance and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Yeah, I thank God for men who have preached to me. I love preachers, always have. I thank God for the men who have preached the word of God. I thank God for the men who have taught the word of God to me in Sunday schools. Listen, we are to thank God for our Sunday school teachers. I can tell you it takes a lot of time to prepare just for one lesson. I thank God for the men that has interest in me and sit down and discuss the word of God with me. The word of God's got to be preached. Don't forget 2 Timothy chapter 3. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. It is God-breathed. And it's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect or mature, truly furnished unto all good works. The word of God must be preached. Second of all, the word of God must be personal. Now, here's where we're going to get down to the nitty-gritty. It does not matter. It does you no good to have all these Bibles and not read them. Doesn't do you any good at all. As I said earlier, it doesn't matter how many sermons you've sat and listened to, how many lessons you've listened to, if it is not applied in your life. Let me tell you something. Let me just make it personal with you. I find myself constantly being changed by the Word of God. I do. I'll give you a recent example. I hate these stupid things. I hate them. I hate them with a passion. You know how many times I've had to turn my vehicle around and go back home because I forgot my mask? I can't stand them. And I was the loudmouth one that said, I am not wearing a mask. That's crazy. If this is all we got to do, what's the big deal? Swallow your pride. There's your problem. You're too proud. What's the big deal about putting a mask on? Now, whether I believe they're effective or not doesn't really matter. You know. I love my guns. I got a safe full of them. I'm trying to see how many I'm cramming that safe. And I've always been the loudmouth one that says, you know what? The government's not getting my guns. I'll hide them. Problem is, I can't find any Bible for that. You know what? This book gets a little bit inconvenient. When you got to swallow your pride, pride tastes awful. But what I'm trying to say, folks, this has got to be personal in your life. The third thing is, it's got to be preached, it's got to become personal, and then the third thing is, it's got to be practiced. That's the big one. Listen, what good does it do to acknowledge the truth without it applying it in your life? Paul said in these verses, you became followers of us and of the Lord. He says in my text that I read to you, later on he said, you became followers of the churches of God. You got to put it into practice in your life. If God says don't do it, you know what? That becomes then a desire and a pattern in your life that you seek not to do what God says not to do. If God says do it, that becomes a pattern in your life. It is so sad and distressing that church members can sit there service after service and not be affected or changed by the preaching of the Word of God. Am I making sense? Number one, folks, the Word of God brought power. Now I got a boogie. It's already 12 o'clock. Number two, the Word of God also, the same Word, brought persecution. Now, this is not a very pleasant part of this message, but listen to what Paul said in verse 14. He says, "For you," in verse 14 through 16, "For you, brethren, became followers of the churches of God, which in Judea are in Christ Jesus. For ye also have suffered like things of your own countrymen, even as they have of the Jews." Now, let me just stop right there. I won't read all the verses to you. I want you to follow Paul's logic here. He says basically two things will happen when you are faithful to the Word of God. Number one, he talks about the persecution of the saints. What he basically says was, you know what? They persecuted Jesus. They persecuted me. And they will also persecute you. What he says. If you are faithful to the Word. Now I read that, and I wonder, why are we not facing persecution today like they did back then? Now I think it's coming. But why are we not being persecuted today? Could it be it's because we're too pleasing to men? I got a rule of thumb for you. Folks, if you try to please everybody, you might please somebody, but you're not pleasing God. You read what Paul says. Now, listen, if Jesus preached to please everybody, why was he crucified? He obviously wasn't concerned about pleasing men. If Paul preached to please everybody, why was he beaten? Why was he imprisoned? Why was he shipwrecked? If Stephen preached to please everybody, why was he stoned? I read about this old legend about this old man and this boy and a donkey. And said they came to this village, and the old man was leading the donkey, and the little boy's walking behind him. And the first village they came to, the people were just astounded why he's leading that donkey and not riding the donkey. So the man climbed up on the donkey's back. Here they go, traveling along. They come to the next village, and the people in that village thought it was cruel for the old man to ride and the little boy walk. So the old man gets off to please the people, sets the little boy on the donkey, and off they go. They come to the third village, and the people of that village thought it was crazy, you know, that one of them was walking. Said, both of you are right. So the old man gets up on the donkey, and both of them ride the donkey. They get to the next village, and that village went crazy. They thought it was cruel. They were so cruel to that donkey, making it carry two people. The old man became so frustrated that the next time they saw him, the old man was carrying the donkey. You know. You can't please everybody, folks. You will face, I believe, persecution if you stand. Now, I read that during what's called the Boxer Rebellion back in 1900, that a group of militants took over a mission station, surrounded it, blocked all the exits but one, and in front of that one exit, they laid a cross on the ground. They told the inhabitants, in order to live and have your freedom, you're going to have to trample this cross underfoot. Well, the first 7 people out of that mission did that. They came out and they trampled the cross underfoot, and they were allowed to go free. And here came out this little 8-year-old little girl, and she refused. She rather knelt down by the cross and prayed for strength and then walked around it and went over to the firing squad. 91 people followed her example and came out of that mission and walked around it and went over to the firing squad. Listen, it's not easy sometimes being faithful. He talks about the persecution of saints. Then he talks about the provoking of Satan. Listen to what he says. Wherefore we would have come, verse 18, come unto you, even I, Paul, once and again, but Satan hindered us. You know what? That's what Satan does. It's what he's good at. I think sometimes I sit and ponder these things. You know what, folks? I hate church problems. I do. It drives me nuts. But sometimes I think it's showing us that the devil don't like us. If we don't have any problems, that means the devil's happy with us. And I'm not happy, and God's not happy. But if the devil's mad, then we ought to be glad. Something to be said about church problems sometimes. Listen, we have an enemy that's called the devil. The devil doesn't want anybody evangelized. He doesn't want anybody edified. If you're doing either of those things, the devil won't like us. He doesn't want anybody saved. He doesn't want anybody strengthened. If you're doing any of those things, the devil will not like us. What I'm trying to say is, the Word of God, yes, it comes with power, but it also many times will bring persecution. Last thing, the Word of God also brought perspective. Now, again, listen to verse 19 and 20, and I'll hurry to a close. For what is our hope or joy or crown of rejoicing? Listen to what it says. Are not even ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at his coming? For ye are our glory and joy. Tell you what the Word of God will enable you to do. It enables you to look past all your problems, all your pain, and will help you see things from an eternal perspective. That's important. Folks, evangelism, I put up there, is absolutely essential. That's what we're about as a church. And people have to be our priority. It's what we're about. Now, 3 simple things to keep in mind. First of all, we ought to be faithful to this book. We ought to be faithful to read it. But you ought to be faithful to apply it in your life. The Word of God has to change you. The Word of God brings power. The same Word may also bring persecution. Sure will, but it brings a proper perspective. Now, I'm going to close out the way I have every other message. Because I don't know. It is astounding to me how many people who say they're saved and seem like they never respond to the Word. I wish God would change your heart. And you start responding to the Word of God as a child of God. I'll close the same way I always have. Are you really saved? And I mean to ask it just like that. Can you point to a time in your life where God has brought you to a place of utter helplessness and hopelessness? Brought you to a place of repentance. And you, by faith, believed in the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Are you really saved? Are you really a child of God? If not, and listen, I say this all the time, but there's some of you I know, I've called your name every time I go to prayer almost. Today is a good day to be saved. Today is a good day for you to repent of your sins and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's all stand together. We'll close.